الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكبران على محمد رسول الله. أما بعد، إياكم الله يا الأخوة والأخوات، dear brothers and sisters, to the transmission of this خطبة. مو بين الصوت، هذا نتكتم شوي، نحتاج واحد يقرب منه. We said, now this khutbah was advices to every son and daughters. I began the khutbah as you hear by khutbah al-Hajj, and then I said, O believers, Allah Ta'ala says as in Surah Al-Tahrim, Ayah number 6. الله تعالى says يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. الله تعالى says O you believe, ward off yourselves and your families against a fire, hell fire, whose fuel is men and stones, over which are appointed angels, stern and severe, who disobey not from the executing the commands they receive from Allah, but do that which they are commanded. These are going to be some advices that we are going to give to our Muslim, to our sons and daughters. Who are the strength of the Ummah, so that they are not to be the fuel of the fire on the Day of Resurrection. So I call over my sons and daughters, asking them to pay attention to what I'm going to say to them, as I want them also to turn to me with their hearts and ears as well. You know, all my sons and daughters, may Allah protect you, that Allah Ta'ala created us only for one main purpose, us and those who were before us. He, Allah Ta'ala, created us all So, Allah Ta'ala told us that He created us and those who were before us for only one main purpose, that He Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has clarified to us as in Surah Al-Dariyat, Ayah 56, where He, Allah Ta'ala, said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created not jinn and mankind except that they worship me alone. Except that They worship me alone, without any partners. Did you notice that? Did you see that, oh youth? You were not created for nothing, for no purpose. However, you were created to do and fulfill a very great matter that no one can obtain except a person who Allah Ta'ala blessed and he has a high rank before Allah Ta'ala. And he will earn from that the paradise and pleasure of Allah as well as a very high reward. Only because that he understood from Allah Ta'ala's statement where he said, where he described the life, this worldly life, as he subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as in ayah 33 of Surah Luqman, where Allah Ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhan nas, اتقوا ربكم واخشوا يوما لا يجزي والد عن ولده ولا مولود هو جاز عن والده شيئا. إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. As in Ayah 33 of Surah Luqman. Allah Ta'ala said, O mankind, be afraid of your Lord by keeping your duty to Him and avoiding all evil. And fear a day when no father can avail out for his son, nor a son avail out for his father. Verily, the promise of Allah is true. Let not then this worldly life, present life, deceive you, nor let the chief deceiver, the Satan, the Shaitan, deceive you about Allah. So this life is only temporarily. It's not going to remain forever. And it is, as Allah described it, a matter of deception. It deceives those who look to it, hope it, wish to enjoy themselves in it in any way. So do not get deceived by it, as it is the trap of Iblis that he builds for his enemies, mankind, O son, O daughter. You, the strength of the Ummah, have you ever known that you are targeted by your enemies in your religion, in your belief, in your Islamic identity, even in your personality? Your enemies want to form your personality the way they like. So they leave you as they are. Allah Ta'ala have taken away from them whatever thing that they can have dignity with. So they have no dignity, no dignity to have pride of because they disobeyed Allah and they followed their enemy. So they are shamed in this life by their actions and sayings, and in the hereafter. And let me go out of text of what I said out of the translation to talk to you a little bit about this thing. Look to your enemies, whether they are religious or not. They are all shamed today. And they're going to be badly shamed in the day of resurrection. Today, they worship things that anybody, any common person will get surprised why they are worshipping it. They are doctors. They are investors. They are inventors. They are discoverers. But yet, they could not know that the cross cannot benefit them nothing. They could not know that the cow benefit them nothing. They could not know a tree that they worship benefit them nothing. They could not know a rock that they worship or an idol that they made for themselves to worship benefit them nothing. So this is big shame when you see people in this high level of science and technology, and but at the same time they are very, very low in way of thinking in regard to any spiritual matters. They know that what exists in this world is their bodies. Their souls cannot exist. Yet they don't know how to treat their souls and spirits. They don't know how to purify it. They do not know how to benefit it. Why? Because they did not submit their cases to their Lord. The only way to benefit your soul, your spirit, is to obey your Lord. That is the only way. And even their ritual ones of them, the religious ones of them, you check their records and see that they have many shameful acts and sayings. Many. I don't want to say one or two, but it is even uncountable. Of very shameful things that they do. Why? Because they worship falsely. Not on the way that their Lord wants them to worship. But the one who submits his case to his Lord, even if he's a simple, common person, you will see the dignity on his face. You will see the dignity on his actions, on his sayings. He is always proud because he admits that he's a slave only for one. But they are slaves for everything. They are slaves to their dog. They are slaves to their wives and women. They're slaves to their business and money. They're slaves to their desire. They're slaves to everything else but not Allah. While a simple, common Muslim is only slave of Allah. That's why He does not need to say a lot of many different things. But he keeps saying, Astaghfirullah. Which pleases his master, his Lord. But that one keeps singing here and there because he does not know who to please. Only a please. Back to the text. So my son and my daughter, do not follow the ways of your enemies, but follow the way of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way of your examples, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I'm going to show you now, many or not many, just little examples of many of the youth during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how they earned dignity, pride, and the very real and comfortable and nice life in this world and in the hereafter. It is only because they listened to the direction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they became over all of those who were more powerful than them and more rich than them. But they became over them. Over them. This is Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One of the youth of the Sahaba. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a lift on his donkey. On the way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed a speech to him. He gave him a question. He asked him one question. This question clarifies the reality of this world and the existence of everything here and the other world and the existence of it, of everything there. Very simple. One question. He asked him, Oh Mu'adh, do you know what is the right of Allah upon the slaves? And do you know the right of the slaves upon Allah? Very simple question. Mu'adh said, he knew, of course, because he's one of the scholars of the youth of the Sahaba. But he wanted to hear from Rasulullah sallam. Maybe he says something else. He said, the right of Allah is that the slaves worship him alone, without taking any partners with him. And the right of the slaves is that whoever comes to Allah having no any association in his worship along with Allah, then Allah would never torch him in the fire. What does that mean? It does not mean that he is not going to get to the fire. Possibly, yes. Possibly that Allah forgives all of his sins. But even if he committed sins that is not shirk, and he has to go to the fire by the command of Allah, he would not be forever there. And he would not, he would not be forever there, and he would not be in that level. Because the fire is levels also. So this young man, Mu'adh, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, realized this and understood it very well. So he acted upon it. What was the result and consequence? A witnessing from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Mu'adh will come on the day of resurrection. He's already in this life took his position. He wasn't a normal person to the people, I mean, but he was very humble. He was a very simple man, but to the people he was not a common person. But he was that person that people need to travel to him to seek knowledge from him. To know what pleases Allah, what displeases Allah. And that's why Rasulullah sallam, when the people of Yemen came asking him to send someone to teach them Islam, he sent him Mu'adh. He sent them Mu'adh. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that Mu'adh on the day of resurrection will come in a rutwa above the ulama. Rutwa in Arabic means a gap, a distance above the ulama. Above the ulama. You know what I mean by ulama? Whatsoever ulama you know. Whatsoever ulama. Malik, Shafi'i, Ahmad, Abu Hanifa, Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, anybody. Until the day of resurrection. They are all going to be in one land, in one area, and Mu'ad is going to be ahead of them. Ahead of them. Young man. Why? Because he listened to what Rasulullah said and he implemented it. He stuck to it. That's why he became so. Another example from the youth of the Sahaba. May Allah be pleased with them all. Abdullah ibn Abbas. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One day, the Prophet ﷺ gave him a lift over on his donkey again. And he said to him, "Oh lad, verily I'm teaching you words. Oh lad, verily I'm teaching you words. احفظ الله يحفظك. احفظ الله means keep Allah in your mind. Never forget Allah. Whatever you want to do, you examine it. Pleases Allah or displeases Allah. Whatever sin you want to commit, then remember Allah that He watches you. Then remember Allah that He subhanahu wa ta'ala watches you. Naam? احفظ الله يحفظ. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Keep Allah in mind. Keep Allah in mind all the time. You see Allah wherever you are in need for any help. Wherever you are in need for any help. Is this real or not real? Wallahi real. Wallahi real. If you keep Allah in mind, meaning that you don't do nothing unless you look. Does this please Allah or not? If it pleases Allah, you go. If it is not, don't do it. If you ask, he said to him, if you want to ask for anything, any help, anything, any support, then ask Allah. What does that mean? Don't ask human. Ibn Abbas didn't ask nobody, he asked. He asked for anybody, some people for help. No problem. But it means first thing you ask Allah to make this person, if I want Fahad to help me, first thing I ask Allah, oh Allah, make Fahad to help me. Make Fahad to help me. Not Fahad becomes first and then Allah. La. Allah is first. Allah is first. And whenever seek any help, then seek it from Allah Ta'ala. And know that if the ummah, if the whole mankind and jinn, that is the meaning of ummah, whole mankind and jinn, gather all together to benefit you of something, they will never be able to benefit you except of something that Allah Ta'ala has written for you. And if they all are gathered together to harm you with anything, they cannot harm you with anything except something that Allah Ta'ala has written for you. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, verily the pins are raised. Pins are lifted. What pins? We have pins. Our bins are lifted. What bins, Yahwan? What bins are made? What bins? You know? No? Young lad, this hadith is for you lads, not for your fathers. Although it is for all, and especially today, believe me lads, most of the fathers do not know these meanings. That's why many fathers are corrupted. Many fathers do not pray. Many fathers, when they worship falsely. They don't care how Rasulullah Sallam worship. Many fathers worship others besides Allah because they are all lots today. They are all lots. And they need to hear this hadith and understand it. Him, you know, what pins? Lawh al-Mahfuz? How many pins were there? So why it is plural? Rufi'at al-Aqlam. Your answer is correct, but incomplete. Give me all answer and I'll give you this cup of water as the prize. Like if you can't have it. It is only, and it's to show that the pen which repeatedly wrote the destiny of every one of you. So it's like if it is pens, not pen. Now, but in real, it's only one pen that wrote the destiny of every existence, every living existence. So he said to him, the pens are raised and the books are dry of ink. And the ink which is used is dry now. So it means everything you're going to see of good or bad is already written. So why you hope people then? Only make your hope and trust with Allah. Only with Allah. And it means here, oh lads, when you go to the to have your exam, you ask Allah to help you. You ask Allah to help you, not to cheat, but you ask Allah to help you. So this lad, Abdullah ibn Abbas, understood this words, these words very well. And he acted upon it. On the perfect form. Up until he became someone who no one can have as much knowledge as him. Now, does this contradict with Mu'ad? No. Mu'ad is given that by Rasulullah that he comes on the day of resurrection on a rutwa from the ulama, on a distance ahead of ulama. But Abdullah ibn Abbas in his time was the most knowledgeable person. The most knowledgeable person. Because he realized this and he started. He did not have knowledge by sitting home. Like many people today, sitting in their places, even in the West, amongst the kuffar. Amongst the kuffar, they did not study with nobody. And they are so happy with Sheikh so and so saying, calling them Sheikh. They are so happy. And they travel from here to there, give da'wah. Subhanallah. Ibn Abbas, the cousin of Rasulullah, the one who was most of his time in the house of Rasulullah because his aunt, Maymuna bint al-Harith, is the wife of Rasulullah. And he was with Rasulullah all the time. But besides that, he did not say, khalas. Sheikh Son, sorry, command me, I'm well known. La. He did not say that. These I'm talking about are not lads. They are already adults, some of them over 40. But their minds are even younger than lads. Because they did not understand this hadith. And the like of it. So, Ibn Abbas did not stick to this and he said, look, Ikhwan, everybody has to respect me because... But he went to the doors of the houses of the Sahaba who were elder than him, who were the ulama, like Zayd ibn Thabit. He went to his house and the door was closed. So he sat by the doorstep waiting for Zayd ibn Thabit to come out. Zayd ibn Thabit came out and he saw this young lad sitting out on the doorstep. What kind of thing is that?
He was scared that, what's this? Maybe Allah punished me for this. He said, O cousin of Rasulullah, if you just tell us, we come to you wherever you are and teach you. Or some words like that. When Zayd ibn Thabit got on his camel, he held the rope to drive the camel. Zayd ibn Thabit said, no, no, you didn't do that. He said, this is the way we are told to treat our scholars. Not to bring some new Muslims for Umrah and come bring them to a sheikh to give them a talk. And you sit beside the sheikh, mashallah, two shiuch. One Western sheikh, one Eastern sheikh, mashallah. But we need this Western sheikh to wear a necktie. To wear a necktie so we distinguish between the English sheikh and the Saudi sheikh. Because we have a confusion now. This English sheikh is confusing us. And that's why Islam is today corrupted. People do not know where is the haqq. People do not know where is the haqq. Because of this type of people confusing others. Criticizing Jama'at al-Tabligh, and they're doing like them. Teaching without studying. Criticizing Jama'at Islami and Ikhwan Muslimin for their harshness, and they are even more harsh than them. With their brothers, Salafi brothers and scholars. And for that Islam is strange today. The real Islam is strange. You go to any capital of any Muslim country and try to teach them the proper way of Salah as per Bukhari and Muslim. People will immediately stand up and fight you. What are you doing? The Arabs will tell you, how come you say, we say Ameen? You go to the Maliki areas, they will tell you, how come you say, we put our hands on our shoulder, on our chest? You go to the Shafi'i areas, they tell you, how come you don't say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim when you recite Al-Fatiha? And you tell them, ya ikhwan, this is Bukhari and Muslim. But it is strange because of many of teachers who did not go like Ibn Abbas. Go to the ulama like Ibn Abbas, how he sat down the door. Even when they come to circles of knowledge, like what I see today, they only come to be seen. Allah knows best what is in the heart. But if we want to examine them, we don't find them having nothing. We find them having nothing. And this is seen from their speech. When they give a talk, you get amazed. Is he a student of Sheikh Abdul Masih al-Abbad? Impossible. The statements are totally different. Abbad has tolerance, this has harshness. How come? I can't figure it out. It only shows me that they carry books only and come to the circle and look to everyone here and there and raise their hands, hello. So witnesses, oh, he attends the Sheikh Abbas classes, but he didn't benefit. He didn't benefit, not like Ibn Abbas here when Rasulullah gave him one time speech. Ya ghulam, ihfaz Allah ihfazk. He put it in his mind. Ihfaz Allah. So he put this in his mind. Always keep Allah in his mind. Always. He doesn't say any words until he says, oh, am I going to be asked about it? Is it going to bring any good to Islam? Or not? Is it going to destroy, cause a split between the Muslims? Like that. I saw some qualities, I studied with some qualities like this. Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, Sheikh Muhammad Uthaymeen, Sheikh Nasruddin Albani, Sheikh Abbas, Sheikh Muhammad Adam, Sheikh Ali Nasir Faqih. When you sit to them, you understand some types of this hadith and how Ibn Abbas reacted How Ibn Abbas reacted. But when you see these qualities, you only, if you have read the history of Islam, you only can remember who? You only can remember Imran ibn Hattan. Imran ibn Hattan, if you open the book of Bukhari and Muslim, you find him one of the narrators there. But this man didn't benefit. Didn't benefit from what he narrated. Because one day he praised the one who killed Ali radiallahu anhu. He praised the one who killed Ali radiallahu anhu. Did he benefit? No. No, he didn't benefit. How come you praise him? Well, you know that at least he's on the Khawarij if he's not kafir. At least he's on the Khawarij. So how come? So this young lad understood the lesson very well. And he acted upon it. See the consequence. He became the what is called Bahr, the Habr Bahr. Habr is the big alim. That is the word Habr mean. And it is also pronounced Hibr, means the ink. Means that he is the ink that you can write with. If you have no ink, you can write nothing. And he is called the Bahr. And it means the sea or the ocean. That's how much knowledge he had. Why? Because he gone this way. Not the way of these youngsters today. Even if they have grey hair, but they are still youngsters. They are lads. To me, they are lads. Now, and this is another example of the youth of the Sahaba. Umar ibn Abi Salama. He was the stepson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His mother, Umm Salama, after his father died, radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married him. One day he was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by food. I mean, Amir, maybe, I don't know, lingerie. And as a young boy, his hand was, you know, chasing some food here and there on the same plate. On the same plate. If it is different plates, no problem. Different type of foods, no problem. But on one same plate, no. You eat from what is next to you. He said to him, Ya Ghulam, O lad, remember now this. Especially you lads, huh? Remember this. He said, O lad, say Bismillah. When you want to eat, say Bismillah. And eat with your right hand. Use your right hand in eating. And eat from what is next to you immediately. Don't extend your hand to go to the other side or to your neighbor's side. And here is Anas. And this boy, he understood the lesson. And when he grew up, he narrated this to us. To teach us what to do in these cases. And this is Anas ibn Malik. His mother brought him when he was only 10 years old to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he came migrating from Mecca to Medina. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, this is Anas. Your little servant will serve you and you make dua for him. Anas served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. He was 10 years old and he served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he was only 20. All of them were the same age. 18, 17, 19, 20, like that. So, because of this, he served Rasulullah. He served Rasulullah. Because of this, he became one of the scholars. One of the major scholars of Islam, Anas ibn Malik. You hear most of the hadith from Anas ibn Malik, Many, not most of them, but many. And here is Abdullah ibn Amr, ibn Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu. One another young of the Sahaba, young one of the Sahaba.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him one day, "Oh Abdullah, don't be like so and so. He used to pray at night and he stopped." What do you think Abdullah ibn Umar did? You lads, now you need to ask yourselves. Do you pray night prayers? Or do you prefer to play Sony? Sorry? Yeah, this PlayStation and... Yeah. Abdullah ibn Umar understood this and he immediately stick to it every night, pray night. What was the consequence of that? One of the major scholars of Islam. Until today we know Abdullah ibn Umar. But those who wasted their time playing, where are they? This reminds me of a story. Abdullah ibn Abbas, where I told you that he went to the house of Zayd ibn Thabit. Before he go to there, he was with one of his friends, same age, from the youth of Al-Ansar. And Abdullah ibn Abbas suggested to go to Zayd ibn Thabit and learn from him. That friend said to him, "Ibn Abbas, sure, we are young. And here, big number of the Sahaba of Rasulullah. You think that people will need us? You think that people will need our help?" Ibn Abbas left him and said, no, this is not correct. And he went to Zayd ibn Thabit's house. Until today, I don't know, I checked many books to know what that friend's name. I could not know his name. No one even narrated his name. He's gone. Finished. But Ibn Abbas, until today we know who is Ibn Abbas. We know who he is, Ibn Abbas is. And here is another example, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhuma, one another young of the Sahaba, young man of the Sahaba. He saw, he done that. He already done that. He was praying all night, every night. All night, every night. And he used to fast every single day. Every single day. He was married. And one day, his father came and asked his wife, "How is your husband?" And she said, "MashaAllah, he's a very pious person, but he never, ever knew what he never ever came to sleep with me." He was shocked to that. Marrying for what? And he, as a father, he wants to see his grandchildren. But Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As is too busy worshipping. Marrying, having children is part of worship. So he went to Rasulullah and he complained to Rasulullah. And Rasulullah ﷺ brought Abdullah ibn Amr and said that, "I hear that you do this and this." He said, "Yes." He said, "No, don't do that. Don't do that." He said, "But I'm strong, I can't do it." He said, "No, no. Fast Mondays and Thursdays. And if you wish, 3 days in the middle." He said, "But I cut one day and break one day. Fast one day and break one day. And pray at night like Dawud alayhi salam. He used to pray at the beginning of the night, then sleep, then awake, then pray, then sleep, then awake for Fajr. If you wish, you can do that." Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As stick to that. And he understood that very well. And he became one of the famous scholars of the Sahaba. Another example. A young man of the Sahaba came to Rasulullah and he said, he's full of power. As young man, full of power. Now, he wants to charge his power. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, permit me to commit zina. Permit me to commit zina. Adultery." Rasulullah, now look. Many young today, they go for many wrong things. many wrong things. Zina, or what we call it, luwat, or homosexuality, or sometimes they charge, yani they're, by many other means, hands or whatsoever. Now, youth, remember, this is amana on you. Allah sees you. Remember the hadith of Ibn Abbas. Allah, remember Allah, Allah will keep Allah in mind, Allah will keep you protected. So, he came to Rasulullah and he said, Ya Rasulullah, permit me for zina. He said to him, sit down, sit down. The man sat down, he asked him, do you accept that to your mother? Do you accept anybody to do that with your mother? He said, no. No. He said, then everyone doesn't accept it for his mother. Do you accept it for your sister? He said, no. He said, everyone doesn't accept it for his sister. And he numbered all the female relatives for him. And he said, no. And he said to him, well, everyone doesn't accept it for them, for his own relatives, female relatives. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ did not tell the man what to do to control his desire. But in the other hadith, he said, all youth, whoever is capable of spending, let him then marry. Once you reach the age of maturity, unfortunately, the West dumped all their debts to on us. They come and tell you, your daughter cannot marry when she is 15, 16. But I saw, my eyes, one, maybe 15, 16 years old, wallahi, pushing a trolley of two sides, two, she had twins. Where's the father? I had email that got him from BBC, and an English girl who was 11 years old had a baby from her friend who was 10 years old or 12 years old, I forgot. And they both were carrying the baby like a toy. Subhanallah. And now the Muslims, even here in the East, starting saying, how come you let the girl marry in 18? She's still a child. And how the boy marry in 16 or 17, he's still a child. But you know that they have power, that they are doing something wrong. Okay, when? As I said on the member in Arabic, out of text. We tell the father, okay, let your son marry after he finish what we call it intermediate school here, which in the West, secondary school. Here we call it intermediate school. And that means they are teenagers. Oh, he said, oh, he's still young, she's still young. Okay. When he finished the high school here, which is the college there, now he's about 18 years old. Let her marry. Oh, they are still young, they are still children. Not young, they say, they are still children. They are still too young for that. Uh-huh. Okay. Once he finished the four years in the university, they let him to marry. Oh, he's still having nothing, let him to build up himself, meaning earn some money, work and earn some money. Okay. And all this period, what did you do to protect him from falling into sin? What did you do? You did not let him marry. You did not train him from boyhood to fast. You did not make him hear like these things. You did not raise him on piety. So how come you want him to protect himself? This boy, this girl, will essentially do wrong. So we have to use the proper mean. If you think, if you don't want or you're not able to make them marry, at least, which is more important, to raise them up on piety, from boyhood, from childhood. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا يُولَدُ عَلْفِطْرَةِ
Every child is born of nature, fitrah, which is obedience to Allah. But his parents direct him either to be a good Muslim or to be something else. Maybe kafir, maybe not kafir, but a disliked member of the Muslim Ummah. No one wants him. He's a thief, he's a drug user, he's a drunkard, he's a robber, nobody wants him. Yes, he's Muslim, but we don't want him. Yes, this daughter is Muslim, but we don't want her because she goes out exposing her beauty to the people. We don't want them. So people do not praise it, do not like it, do not want it. But he doesn't understand, he doesn't want to know, he doesn't want to hear anything. Only one thing. She's a child, he's a child. That's it. Honestly, they are not, but he is the child. The father is the child. The father is the child. Because he's immature, he did not know what benefits his family, what's not. He did not go with the ayah of Surah Luqman. Sorry, the ayah of Surah Luqman. Is it? No, Surah Tahrim. So, and this is another example, Usama ibn Zayd. You know when Rasulullah sallam passed away, he was only 17 years old. And just before Rasulullah sallam passed away, he brought him as the leader of an army that has in it Abu Bakr and Umar. He was the leader of that army. How Rasulullah sallam choosing him to be that? Because of his intelligence. He was 17, but he was mature, fully mature. He knows what benefits, what harms. Today, your 20 year son, you cannot send him to the market to bring you anything. Unless if you want to go after him to return this gold that he brought and apologize for the salesman saying, sorry, my stupid son didn't know what I want. Honestly, why? It's not the child. It's not the fault of the child. It is the fault of the father. You know what? When Rasulullah ﷺ was only a boy, his grandfather Abdul Muttalib used to take him with him when they trade? Lala, not trade. No. When the heads of the tribes, yani the rulers at that time, come to discuss very serious matters of the ummah, he used to put him with him, young child, to listen and grow up on that. He treated him like a man. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to do so. Remember when he saw Hassan walking in between the roads, he came down the member and he carried him, and when he climbed the member again, he said, my son is the Sayyid, and Allah Ta'ala reconciled between two Muslim groups with him. This boy heard this and realized it, and he put it in mind, and one day he did it. He saved the blood of Muslims. And this is the way how we need to treat our children. Don't just treat them like little chickens in the cage. No, akhi. They are human. They are in this age, are more clever than you. But they need someone to direct them. We all know that the computer is more clever than us. But can it work alone? No. It needs us to direct it. Same thing the children. They are very clever. But they need the one who directs them. So let's be good fathers. This Usama bin Zayd, as you hear. And the list of the long number of examples of amongst the Sahaba as long as I said, is too long, really, for us to just mention them here. But where are the youth who can read and listen and take the benefit of their biographies and work from there to be one day someone whose people look to and wish that he brings them any good? And then I said, no one can benefit that unless he stretches himself up on the way of what Allah Ta'ala commanded him to be, and he followed the caravan of the pious people who the Prophet ﷺ said about them, 7 types of people Allah Ta'ala going to shade under the shade of his throne, and no shade then except the shade of his throne. One is justice leader. The second is the young man who grown up in obedience of Allah, grown up obeying Allah. And other, a man whose heart is hung in the masjid, meaning he doesn't want to leave the masjid. And once he leaves the masjid, he comes back to it. And 2 men love each other only for the sake of Allah. They gather always, they meet for that, and they separate for that. And a man whom a woman of beauty and position of authority asked him to come and do wrong with her, but he said, no, verily I fear Allah. And a man who's, as I said, now do our youth today say so? Are they waiting for a woman in this type of position to call them? They go to the markets, hospitals, the streets, and accuse the woman there. But this man, he did not go. That woman called him, woman of authority and beauty. But he said, no, I'm not going to respond. The way Yusuf alayhi salam said, no, I fear Allah. So we have to have our children understand this. Fear Allah. And a man who remembers Allah when he was alone and he teared, he cried. Now, let me ask you, O son or daughter, do you have any of these 7 characters that you hear of these 7 different types of people? Do you cry for your sin? Do you cry whenever you commit a sin? Do you cry whenever you lie? Whenever you cheat? Whenever you steal? Whenever you slander? Whenever you mock others? Whenever you do anything wrong? Whenever you disobey your parents? Whenever you curse others? Whenever you insult others? Whenever you wrong others? Have you ever cried for this sin? If you do, then alhamdulillah, your heart is still upon light. But if you never had done that, then I'm afraid that your heart has died already or turned to be a stone. So you have to be careful. This is what we said in the first khutbah, and in the second khutbah, I praised Allah and then sent peace and blessings upon Rasulullah, his family, companions, and those who follow him. And then I said, O you daughter, you also, the speech is directed to you as it was directed to your brother. You are also you, and be up on women of the Sahaba, the like of Aisha, Fatima, Hafsa, and many others. You are told to be like them when they protected their private part, their virginity.
When they remain seated home. When they remain seated home. A day ago, a couple called me from Penang. And then the wife took the phone and talked. One of her complaints is that I said, Subhanallah, he choosing the good thing for you. What do you want? She wants to go marketing alone. Days back. But he plays like that. She goes to school where she worked as a teacher in the bus of the school. And this, he is boycotting his elder sister for many years because she goes to the school with the driver, not alone, but with other women. So I said, Subhanallah. What is practicing? How can it benefit us? And many examples like that. Even brothers, when they go back to the West, he's too busy with his friends. Talking and, you know, telling them his experience in the East, how he did. While he gives the car to his wife, you go marketing, you go this, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. No shame. In the land of Tawheed, in the land of Iman, he didn't do that. He used to accompany her. There, you let her go where no Iman, nothing to stop people from accusing a woman. A covered open woman rather than a Muslim covered woman. But this is because we are not listening to these examples from the companions. So then I said, O youth of the Ummah, male and female, Allah Ta'ala blessed intelligence. So, is the reward of good can be, or can the reward of good be other than good? Allah Ta'ala done you good, so you have to do good. You don't use these blessings to do evil. That's wrong. So fear Allah, the proper way of fearing, and know that your bodies cannot resist the fire. And know that Allah Ta'ala knows the seen and the unseen. So worship your Lord and be guided by the guidance of your Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Be grateful and dutiful to your parents. Obey those whom Allah Ta'ala gave the authority amongst you or over you, especially the Muslims. And only the Muslims, I mean. But I don't mean that the kuffar rulers not to be obeyed. No, but the Muslim rulers have more right to be obeyed. Not like what the youth are doing today in many capitals and many squares. Coming out, staying days and nights in the squares. What do they want? One thing. we want the regime dropped. What is that? Khawarij? They say, no, these are not Khawarij. Why? Because there is an oppression over them. And who told you that the Khawarij are only the ones who have no oppression over them? Who told you that? They are Khawarij. It's a fire. You need the proof? Look to the position of the scholars, and the position with them. The scholars, the real scholars, and the Westerners. The Westerners are praising them, and supporting them, and, you know, encouraging them to do more. But the scholars are saying, no, don't do this. And now you need to tell me, who you think can guide you to the best way of this life and the hereafter? The Westerns, the Kuffar I mean, the Kuffar, and the Kuffar governments, who are praising this type of mess in the Muslim land, or your scholars, the inheritors of Rasulullah? Who can do that? Who can give you the proper advice? For they are not listening, they are saying these ulama are just sitting there and talking. Well, what did these Westerners do for you? They are encouraging you to destroy everything that your fathers built. That's all. Why? For that their lands, their countries be saved. And your country is destroyed, and once this regime gone, you will need another 50 to 100 years to build it up. So you will be behind them all the time. All the time, behind them. You will be behind them all the time. So you have to be careful, youth. You have to understand what Rasulullah SAW has told you and warned you of. May Allah Ta'ala protect our ummah and our youth, and ourselves, and our families, and our neighbors, and our scholars, and our rulers, and our religion, and our belief. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi sahbihi. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Any question? No. Janaza? Oh, yeah, in regard to Ibn Umar, yes. Yeah, this out of text. Out of the text. Yeah, I said that Ibn Umar, you know, Ibn Umar was sticking to the Sunnah, and not only the Sunnah by the meaning of worship, but even anything that Rasulullah used to do. Even where he urinated, he goes and urinated there. Ibn Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, used to pray on janazah. Every janazah come to Masjid Nabawi, he prays. Because he knows that when you pray on a janazah, you will receive a reward as much as a qirat. Qirat is as the size of Uhud. One day, he hears from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is another young of the Sahaba, young man of the Sahaba. He hears from him that Rasulullah said, who prays the janazah prayer will have a qirat. One qirat, and who follows the janazah until it is buried, he will receive another qirat. Ibn Umar said, Subhanallah, how many qirats we lost? Because it's only near, you know, the Masjid Nabawi and Baqiyya is only close. And he started doing that from then. And I asked on the member, I asked the youth of today, have you ever prayed janazah? Didn't ask anyone. Let me ask any of the youth here. Do you know how to pray janazah? Do you know what you say when you recite, when you pray janazah? They don't know. Because they don't know, they don't see it. They don't see it. Because their parents do not do it. Their parents do not take them even to where the janazahs are prayed. Now, here in Jeddah, there are many places. One in Al-Faisaliyah, there's a graveyard there by Granata Street. If you go pray Dhuhr at least, or Asr, or any Fard, every day you're going to find a janazah. Teach your children what to say when they pray janazah.
And the graveyard is just few steps. Follow the janaza. Then, yeah. No, it's not the same way. The janazah of the Prophet ﷺ was not treated the same way of any others. They did not pray jama'ah. Come. That lead the janazah prayer of Rasulullah. So they used to pray individually. Na'am. Allah.